And now, Ben Bailey.
Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Welcome to our study on worship through prayer. Prayer is one of the most important and one of the most valuable tools that the Christian has. Paul reminded us of the essentiality of prayer when he told us to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that everything in our life is a prayer, but it means that there ought never to be a time when we can't pray to the Father. Jesus realized this, for in Matthew 26 and verse 53, Jesus, as he was about to be taken, as he'd been taken and the guards were gathered around, he said, "Do you not realize that I could pray to the Father and call down 12 legions of angels?" The Savior even realized the importance of prayer in his life. I want you to notice this passage in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. And it really illustrates for us the importance of prayer in the life of Christ. Notice these words. The Bible says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there." Jesus had to even get away from the disciples, it looks like, from the crowds, and he needed time just between him and the Father so that he could pray. And thus, the Christian must realize the importance of prayer. In our lesson today, we're going to look at three various aspects of prayer. We're going to talk about some fundamentals concerning prayer. What's prayer like? What are some fundamental things I need to understand to be able to pray to the Father? Then we're going to look at a biblical plan, a biblical outline for how the child of God ought to pray on a regular basis. And then we're going to see what the Scripture says we ought to be praying for, some proper prayer requests, we might say. But let's begin talking about fundamentals concerning prayer. The first fundamental that a person needs to understand about prayer is that prayer is something you have to be taught to do correctly. Prayer doesn't naturally come. It's not something we're born with. Rather, it's something we're taught to do. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the Scripture tells us that the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray." From this we learn that prayer is a taught trait. It's something that as I study the Scriptures, as I learn more about God, as I learn about salvation and God's plan for man, I learn more how to pray. And so prayer needs to be taught. We learn from God how to pray correctly. Another fundamental about prayer, for it to be successful, a person has to pray with a firm belief in God. You remember James 1 verse 5? The Bible says that we're not to pray with doubting. We're to ask God in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, just tossed to and fro wherever he wants to go. That's the kind of prayer that God doesn't accept, the double-minded man. But we need to pray with a firm belief that God will bless us. Notice this passage concerning belief and prayer. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus said this, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Jesus taught us if you'll ask it, if it's according to the will of God, and you have your faith in prayer, you really believe, then those are the kind of prayers that are acceptable to God. Matthew 21, verse 22, Jesus said, "If we ask believing, we would receive." And again, that's all contingent upon it being according to the will of God and that we're praying for things that will benefit us and other Christians, not just for worldly things. But if we believe, we pray according to Scripture, the Bible says God will hear our prayers. You know, another important fundamental about prayer is that for prayer to be what God wants it to, prayer must be according to the will of God. 1 John 5, verse 15 teaches us that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, here's a perfect illustration of praying according to the will of God. Jesus is in the garden, Matthew chapter 27. He has been there and He's asked the disciples to watch and pray with Him. And Jesus knows, He's known from the time He came, He knows that He is about to give Himself as a sacrifice for all mankind. He's no doubt willing to do that, but in the human side of it, Jesus prays, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Listen now, not my will, but thine be done. Matthew 27, verse 46. That's the attitude that every child of God ought to have. If I'm going to pray acceptably, I ought to pray for things that I need, things the Scriptures teach, but I ought to pray. Every prayer ought to have the overarching theme, not my will, but thine be done. You know, another fundamental about prayer is that prayer has to be made, given, with a very humble attitude. Luke chapter 18, we see an example of this in verse 10 following. Two men went to the temple to pray. One a publican, one a Pharisee. And we know that the Pharisee, or the religious man, he went up to pray, and here was his prayer. He prayed within himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a day. I give of all that I have. I tithe. All that, he's telling God all that he can do. Aren't you glad I'm on your side? He's a very proud man. But then the publican, the sinner, he wouldn't even approach the temple, but he looked up to heaven, he beat his breast, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, which man went to his house justified? They realized that the man who recognized he was a sinner, looked up to heaven, acknowledged that, and asked for God's help. That was the humble man, the one who prayed in a way that was acceptable to God. Notice what the Scriptures teach about humility. I want you to notice Luke chapter 14 and verse 11. Such a powerful passage. Jesus said these words. Luke chapter 14, verse 11, Jesus said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. If we're going to be exalted, we have to obtain humility in this life. If we're going to be proud, then you can take it to the bank. We're going to be lowered in God's sight. You know, another fundamental about prayer is that we must not pray like the hypocrites in Jesus' day. Oh, if there was one thing the Savior hated, it was the hypocrites and their prayers and their religious facade that they put up. I mean, think about these people. Matthew 23, they put heavy burdens on men that they themselves wouldn't bear. They wouldn't lift it with one little finger. They went halfway around the world to make a proselyte, made him twice as much the son of hell as themselves. And in Matthew chapter 6, we see this concerning the hypocrites. Matthew chapter 6, notice verses 5 through 7. The Scripture says, and when you pray, Jesus said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Here are the hypocrites, and they're standing on the street corners. They're using big theological words. Everybody's looking at them as religious elite. And Jesus said, you know what? They're not religious elite. Don't be like them. That's not what prayer is like. You, when you want to pray, you go into your closet. You go into your inner room and let prayer be between you and God. And so don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't pray to be seen by other men. Don't pray to lift your status religiously with other people. But rather, prayer ought to be between a man and God. You know, prayer must also, to be acceptable, prayer must be offered in Jesus' name. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 through 6, that there's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus himself. And so we have God on one side, man on the other, and how can we bridge the gap to make communication possible? Jesus is that mediator. He's the go-between, and he makes communication between God and man possible. Think about the words of John chapter 14. Here Jesus said it himself. He taught us that if we're going to pray, it has to be in His name. Listen to the words of John 14, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says, and whatever you ask, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, if you're going to ask, it has to be in my name. He's the go-between, He's the sacrifice, He's the advocate, and He taught us, for prayer to be acceptable, it must be through Him. Friend, this is why we don't pray through saints and we don't pray through Mary. We pray through Jesus. In Jesus' name means by His authority, through His power as our mediator and advocate. This is why we don't pray to other people, because God is the recipient of prayer. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven. And so we pray to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And to say in Jesus' name is not necessarily just mouthing those words, but it's an understanding that He is the authority. He's our advocate. He's our mediator. And we must trust Him in prayer. Another fundamental of prayer that we must understand is that scriptural prayer is always with the Spirit and with the understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, we learn how important it is to engage our not only our spirit, our emotions, but also to engage our mind. The Apostle Paul said, I'll pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. Praying with the Spirit, again, means that we have our heart engaged, our emotions, that it's heartfelt, no doubt. But praying with the understanding means that I think about the words. We don't pray things that aren't in Scripture or we're not thinking about them. We pray in a way that is acceptable to God, and we don't let our mind wander and think about other things while we're praying. It's a very serious matter. And so it's done with the Spirit and with the understanding. But here's a fundamental that if we're not careful, can keep our prayers from reaching the throne room of God. To pray, I've got to be right with God, and I've got to be right with my brother. Friend, hear me well. You cannot pray to God if you are not a child of God. If you are living in sin, you cannot have an acceptable prayer life with God. The Bible says that God does not hear a sinner's prayer. Now, where does it say that? Turn your attention to this passage in Psalm 66 and verse 18. Notice what the Scripture says. Very simply, the Bible says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, notice now, the Lord will not hear. The idea of regarding is if we've got iniquity in our heart, we know we're living in sin, we're not prepared to do anything about it, if we're harboring it in our heart, then what does the Bible say? The Lord will not hear. And so if you're living in sin, the first fundamental is take care of that sin problem, whether it be in obeying the gospel, whether it be in prayer and repentance. You've got to deal with the sin problem before God hears your prayer. You know, the blind man was right. John 9, verse 4, he said, we know that God heareth not the prayer of sinners. Proverbs 28, verse 9, he who turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer, is an abomination to God. And so we must be right with God, and we must be right with our brother. Mark chapter 11, Matthew chapter 18, we learn that if we go to sacrifice to worship God, and we realize we've got aught against our brother, he's got something against us, we need to leave it there. Leave the sacrifice there and you go make it right with your brother. And so man has to be in a right relationship with God first and with other Christians. That's the way prayer comes about as an act of worship that really gives God the glory and honor. But just for a moment, let's think about a practical plan for prayer. Let's say we understand the fundamentals and we say to ourselves, you know, I want to have a prayer life that's regular. I want to have a prayer life that gives God the glory. What does the Bible set out as a practical plan for prayer? May I suggest that from the Scriptures we learn prayer ought to be the very first thing every morning. Mark 1, verse 35, the Bible says, in the morning of the Savior, this is His prayer life, in the morning, a great while before daylight, He departed, went to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Notice His steps. It was early. He got up early in the morning, a great while before daylight. Maybe we could say that we need to set our alarm a little earlier so that we could get up and pray. He got away from the rat race of life in the morning, a great while before daylight. He departed to a solitary place. He got away where it could be just Him and God. And He made a point every morning to start His day in prayer this way. And so make it a good habit in the morning when you get up.